My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I'm so excited to be with you today. If you're watching this on video, you can see I'm in a different location. I'm actually on our reunion cruise with my recovery school students. We are docked in Turks and Caicos. This is also why, if you're listening to the podcast in the order release, it is a day or so late. We have been cutting up. So I pulled away. Everyone is offshore. I pulled away to record today's episode, and I'm so excited about today's episode too, because of what we're talking about. Today's episode has been inspired by some of the conversations that we've been having about what we're working on and where we are in this stage in our life, and love and relationships and self-esteem and family and friendships and togetherness. And there was a quote that one of the ladies said that I was just so inspired by about rejection. And so I'm going to share that quote with you after the jump. But you know, as love addicts, one of our biggest fears is to be abandoned by way of rejection. It is so close to our wounding. It is what has caused a lot of those insecurities of wondering if we are enough, if love will stay. It is what's behind a lot of that anxiety, right? And so a lot of the ways that we may overcompensate or hide or deny what it is that we want and we need in hopes of keeping, maintaining, creating a relationship, being good enough, making the person that we've decided is going to be it, trying to make them good enough, and really just thinking that we have more power than we actually have. And so in today's episode, I'm going to talk about what that rejection may look like. I'm going to give you three. I'm going to give you three reminders for you when it comes to working with rejection and how to cope with it and how to think about it in a way that is not so devastating and crushing, so that you can reclaim your power. Okay, so that's what we're talking about today. Let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
The weather's about to start cooling off, which means it is time to transition into our fall and winter wear. And looking for quality, stylish autumn clothing has been so easy since I found Quince. I love when feminine design meets comfort, meets classic lines. And finding stores that match those qualities is not always easy. You might be giving up the quality of a clothing style for the design choice, or you might find something that's made well, but the style is not flattering. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items that I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't have to blow my budget. So like cashmere sweaters for $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices with premium fabrics and finishes. And I love that. I am personally so excited to add my taupe Italian leather crossbody purse to my wardrobe this fall. The classic and timeless design and incredible structure and beautiful hardware is making it a staple not only for my upcoming fall wardrobe, but also still for my summer dresses as well. And finding something of such great quality at an incredible price makes it even better. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high-quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/BGH for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/BGH to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/BGH. All right.
So the quote that one of the ladies said in our circle, so here at our reunion cruise, this is not like the normal where, you know, teaching for several hours and even seminars throughout the weekend, but we are still doing our circle. So we come together. And like I said, we've been sharing what are the things that are bringing us joy, what are the things that we're working. And then we all have an opportunity to sit and talk about our experiences and what connects to that. And, you know, there's tears and there's laughter and there's tools. And it's so incredible, y'all. Ooh, why am I starting to get emotional? I'm not. Not afraid of emotions. I just, you know, want to get this out. Get that hot dad out. A whole bunch of tears. But it has been so incredible to watch the women who have been in this program. Some of the women who came are women who came to the first Healed and Loved Woman retreat. We counted it back apparently 2001, 3 years ago, right? And watching them go through all the things that they've gone through with family and life and love and career and just being a part of that change and celebrating them. And women who joined the program as early as 6 months ago. And also watching them speak about love and their confidence and relationships and things in such a different way. And now what is left is to apply it and to learn how to grow together and build together and find yourself at all these or maintain yourself at all these new levels of growth. And so I'm saying that because, you know, this circle of all these women who are alumni of the program is not just me saying, hey, this is what you should do, right? They're helping each other. They're giving each other tools and feedback and advice and wisdom. And this quote right here was a quote that I was like, oh, crap, I'm writing that down. And I was like, if I'm writing it down, I might as well turn it into today's podcast episode. So the quote is, and some of you may have heard it before, but it was new to me, was when a man rejects you, he is not rejecting you as a person. He is rejecting the man he would have to be with you. I'm going to say that again. If or when a man rejects you romantically, he is not rejecting you as a person. As in, you're not good enough, you're not, whatever. He's rejecting the man he would have to be with you. And that is about him. That is not about you. I think, especially when you're putting yourself out there, whether or not you are very intentional about finding relationships, you're in a current relationship that you really want to make work, you're starting to date again, you're thinking about dating again, or you're just healing from some of the heartbreaks from the past, whenever you're really deeply, truly in love with someone and committed to making something work and they opt out, that can feel very devastating because 9 times out of 10, especially if you're a listener to this podcast, you have been giving everything. You've been giving them grace and forgiveness. You may have settled on some boundaries that you had to try to be fair to them. And you've probably given the best. And those are like maybe not the most healthiest of qualities, you know, because those involve hiding and diminishing yourself. But the best of you, you've given all the love, all the inspiration, all the encouragement, all the patience, all the generosity, you know, all the sensuality, all the emotions, all the vulnerability that you can to this person, only for them to say, I don't want that. And when you kind of expose everything that you are to someone, and let them see it, wear your heart on your sleeve and to ask for help or to ask for what you want or say, I want this, I want you. And for them to say no, it definitely reawakens and triggers the parts of you, which if you're a love addict, this is most of the time. I can't think of anyone who has struggled with love addiction that this wasn't one of their core feelings, if not one of their core feelings of belief, a feeling not enough, right? And so once again, there's a person that I was ready for. Maybe I thought that they were it. Maybe I thought they were a great fit. Everyone around us said it was going to be good. Made the list that I'm supposed to make. I've done the work. And I thought the promise that I thought was given, whether or not it was said directly or not, is when I do this, then I will get the relationships and connections that I deserve, right? And here was the relationship that I thought I deserved, and it didn't work out. So in today's episode, I want to talk about how to deal with that rejection. Those examples of rejections it can vary. So let's talk about the different ways that rejection can show up that can trigger this feeling of, why wasn't I enough? What happened here? What did I get wrong? What did I miss? You know, your thoughts might not even be about you not being enough, but more this frustration, especially if you've been on the healing journey for a while. Why do I keep finding these types of people, friendships, relationships that keep hurting me? Why do I keep trying to get these family members to have shown that I can't trust them, that they are not on my side, that they can't hear me, that they don't listen. Why do I keep trying to get them to be different or to show up in a different way or to apologize or, you know, for me to be able to try to be around them and not care? And I feel like I keep setting myself up for heartbreak there. You know, why does this stuff keep happening? So here are some other examples of rejection that may show up. These are going to be romantic based because, you know, that is typically my focus on this. So some of these may be repetitive from some examples I already gave. But let's say you are talking to someone new or you're wanting to talk to someone new and you're really into them, but they say something to the effect of you're not their type. Maybe you're talking to someone or dating someone and they say that they want to be single. They want a break. They have a lot of things going on. They can't really focus on a relationship right now, only to find that they shortly after that start dating someone else. And for some of you, it's not even that they start dating someone else. They marry this person, right? And if you've been in a long-term relationship or situationship with this person, that feels so rejecting. That feels so confusing. Even, and I have more examples, but while I'm here, even when you know, even when you were there, you see all the red flags and you see all the destruction that this person has caused, or you've seen all the ways that they're not ready. And you yourself have been like, I don't think I can do this, right? But this person, this love, this connection is what I really want. So when you see that person move on to someone else, it can still be very triggering to be like, well, why wasn't I enough to change for? Why wasn't I enough to work for? And making up these stories that this other person is getting this incredible experience that you're not. When I'm not going to focus on this podcast episode, but I'll just say here, in case this is your first time listening, wherever you go, there you are. There's a quote that I say all the time. And that means that that person, if they were toxic and if they were dismissive and if they were selfish and if they were whatever, whatever, that has most likely been a lifelong pattern that maybe they learned, right? And yeah, maybe they can heal it, but it's going to take intentionality. Just because you meet your person does not make you perfect. It does not erase all of your insecurities and all of your badness, all of your fears, all the ways that you have habitually not let people in, push them away, gave half truths. You're going to have to learn how to be an open, generous person. You're going to have to learn how to work the conflicts. You're going to have to learn how to keep it in your pants. Like, you're going to have to learn, you know, it may be easier because now that there's I didn't want to say easier, but it may be, you may have a little bit more motivation if you're with the person that might connect to that. But no, whatever relationship that are really unhealthy person is going into next. Remember, relationships are not the prize. They're not like the end goal of like, now I've made it and I can just float into the rainbows, into the clouds, and life is good. The people who have been in the best relationship would tell you, you still have to learn how to compromise and to communicate and to work through conflict and to support each other's dreams as we transform every 7 to 10 years into new people. To live this life means that we're going to grow and evolve. And so can y'all grow and evolve together? After that first initial things that brought you together are now different, you know, and as we kind of learn more about what we like, what we don't like, if not even just our personality, but as life changes come and transitions come and stuff. So I just don't want anyone to really romanticize and fantasize that this other person is giving that, getting that prince charming or princess charming experience that I never got, you know, they're not. And that's not me wishing evil on them. I'm just saying all relationships have issues. And so they're going to have to work it out. So when you get into a relationship yourself, relationships are just mirrors for you to kind of see what you need to work on. And that the beauty of the relationships is that it's a safe place to do that. That's one of the reasons why we do companionship and partnership, not just for fun, not just for, you know, intimacy and connection, but when we're in the right place, it helps us grow. It makes our world bigger and more expansive and brighter. But that involves you showing up and living up to that experience. And so some things have to be pruned away. Some things have to be stripped in addition to things that get to be celebrated. Other ways that you can feel rejected by someone, I already said that you see them change for someone else. If they are withholding, if you're in partnership, friendship, or in a family relationship with someone, and you know that they are withholding their thoughts and their heart from you and their emotions, and they're not letting you in, even though you're trying to do everything you can to be a safe space for them and to help them see you as someone that is trustworthy with those deepest parts of themselves, it can feel rejecting, especially, you know, going back to people who may move on to other people. Emotional infidelity is real and just as painful as physical infidelity. If I have a partner who I find out is sharing all of these deep secrets and traumas and experiences with another woman, especially if he doesn't do that with me. Like, you're letting her into the nooks and crannies of your heart that I would die to be in, you know, and die is a strong word, but you get what I mean. But, you know, it is all you want to be so intimately connected and to be that safe space for a person. And so if you have a partner or someone else who's letting other people in a way that you don't get to have, that absolutely does feel like a rejection. It does sometimes even feel like a betrayal. Definitely very hurtful. So I want to validate that for anyone who's been through that experience. And same thing, like time-wise, that they let other people get closer. So, you know, they're inviting other people to hang out and spend time with them, but they're not doing that for you. That also can feel very rejecting. Whether or not they like you as a person, like, is it something that I've done? Like, what is it that makes it so that they get to be there, but I don't get to be there? And a few more examples, if they break promises to you, and this could be in comparison to other people or just, you know, you share what it is that you need and what you want, and they promise it's going to change, and then it doesn't. And then the last one is, actually, I already said this one. So including other people, but excluding you into different parts of their life. So let's talk about what are three things for you to do or keep in mind when it comes to feeling rejected by someone. I'm going to use the top example probably mostly for the rest of the podcast around, you know, you were talking to or dating someone and it didn't work out. And they either, maybe they ghosted, they just said, this wasn't what they wanted, but something to where someone that you wanted to be with chose not to be with you and to opt out of it. That's what we're going to talk about.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
So the first thing that I want you to remember and keep in mind is that your feeling of rejection, it's going to be heavy, your feeling of rejection is only a projection of how you feel about yourself. I'll say that again. Your feeling of being rejected by this person is actually only a projection of how you feel about yourself. Not what's true, not what everybody else sees or anything else. You are projecting that there is something wrong with you. And so that's why you feel rejected. There is a book called The Four Agreements. And it talks about how it's important to one of the agreements is to not take things personally. And what the author talks about is having this understanding of knowing that everybody's decisions are their own and it has nothing to do with you. So if I internalize that this relationship didn't work out because I wasn't good enough, not knowing that this person has their own commitment issues, maybe they're colorists. Maybe they have their own mama trauma. Maybe they have a life path. Maybe they're just a great person and I'm a great person, but they want to go live in Timbuktu and save the trees. And I want to go live in downtown Manhattan and work in finance. You know, like those two things don't quite go together. And if you are a master people pleaser, manipulator, intuitor, folks, and you are used to being able to seduce or get people to give you what you need, having this person tell you no or not change for you or not be willing to compromise can feel like, well, why wasn't this love or this connection good enough? Or really, maybe it's just that maybe the answer is really just this neutral truth that you are not a good fit. When there's no bad, there's no good. You know, I've used the example before that, you know, those little toys, those little baby toys that people have, where there's different shapes at the top and the baby has to put the circle and the circle hole and the square hole and the triangle hole. All this is that you're a circle and they're a square, right? So your holes and your shapes don't fit. And if you go around saying, man, why can't I just be a circle? Like, why can't I be a circle so that I can fit into this hole? I hate that I'm a square. Or, you know, squares aren't as good enough as circles, you know, and I bet if I was a circle, I would have a happier life or happier relationship, or, you know, this is the relationship, or this is the person or the friend, or this apology or experience from this family member is what's going to make or break me, versus looking at all the beautiful things that this square has to offer, this square shape that you are in, the angles, the things that you can make with it, the sturdiness of it. Like, you have so many benefits of being this square that you're going to miss out the more you keep looking at someone else and thinking that because they're saying that what you have to offer doesn't fit what they need, that there's something wrong with you. That's because you think there's something wrong with you, versus saying, baby, you wish you was a square. And I'm sorry for you that you're not a square, kind of, actually. You know, you got to be round. You know, people could barely hold on to you sometimes. Like, you know, you be rolling down the street and everything, but this square, you know, we can stack it and different things. You know, y'all, at this point, I'm just being silly with the metaphor, but you get what I'm saying. If you could get to a place to see that everything you are is perfectly made, there is no mistaking you. You don't need to be a few pounds heavier or a few pounds smaller. You don't need to have a thicker ass or a smaller ass. You don't need to, you know, have a certain type of hair. You know, you don't need to be a certain level of intelligence more, or wear clothes in a certain way, or have your degrees be a certain way, or your money be a certain way. Whatever you bring, whatever you think is true about yourself, you're always going to be right. As soon as a relationship ends, or the promise of relationship ends, you go straight towards your insecurities and blaming it for that. Or things that are actually the benefits of you. So going back to being a square is perfect. You know, maybe you're saying, man, I wish I didn't care so much about these relationships, about these men, about these women. And then I would just be happier. Girl, it is a strength to be empathic and generous and sensitive, right? To be open. You want to be those things. Those are not deficits, right? And if you're connected to someone who says, I don't like your emotions. I don't appreciate your emotions. I don't get your emotions. I don't know how to show up for your emotions. And I low-key don't want to show up for your emotions. Your emotions are not the problem. And maybe, you know, I'm not even going to go as far as to say in this example that this person is the problem. Because I think sometimes when we do this, like, their issue and like, they're dumb and da-da-da-da-da, that's really hard because the extremes of this life aren't really true. You know, a lot of times there's truth on both sides. You know, the scale is not black and white. It's a gray scale. There's a little bit of everything. So maybe if they're saying that you're someone who is highly sensitive and they're someone who's maybe more stoic or dry in their humor and they really don't have that, then maybe it's just that they need to find a person. And let's say this is a heterosexual couple and you're a woman. They need to find a woman who's good with like matching that energy. She prefers things to be dry. She prefers to play the dozens versus tear up, you know, when a certain type of joke is made. You know, there is somebody for most people in whatever form it may be. Sometimes your soulmate is going to be a friend. Sometimes your soulmate is going to be a romantic partner. Sometimes your soulmate is going to be a person or a family member, you know, and you may be lucky enough to have multiple soulmates in this lifetime, right? But my point is that you do not have to shrink or regret part of yourself and think that it is the weakness that is keeping you bound from what you want. What you need to start to do is to embrace everything that you are. Embrace your sensitivity. Embrace your sarcasm. Embrace the fact that you rather be at home. Embrace the fact that you rather be outside. You know, embrace the fact that you are a picky eater. That one's for me. Because I shall be mad at the fact that I'm a picky eater. I'll be trying, y'all. I'll be trying to eat more foods. Because at this age, here's a little tangent. At this age, so many of my friends and people, they love food. You know, I keep meeting great people who want to cook for me, and they're good cooks too. And I'm like, okay, here are my restrictions. But I hate it. I hate it. I always try the food, but I want my taste buds. To relax and chill out. But I need to embrace that, right? I need to embrace that because I'm anticipating rejection. When I meet people and they're like, you know, no, I just want you to have something that you like. And I'm like, oh man, this ain't gonna work. This is T minus 5 seconds before this is not gonna work. But yes, you can't personalize and feel like you're the cause and effect of every single thing that doesn't go right, right? Versus just having this internal belief and abundance and knowing that I get to have what I want, they get to have what they want too. And this is not the first, the last, or the only, okay? Which leads into point number two for you to keep in mind, which is when you fear so much or make one person it, you forget about all that you have. You forget about all of the other relationships and access to love that you have. You forget about all the blessings that you have in your life, physical, tangible, emotional, or otherwise. You forget that you probably felt like this was the last chance for love that you had before. And here comes the next one, right? Okay, now we cry, we mourn about this one and say, when am I going to find somebody else? Oh, but there was somebody else. Like, there continues to be another person, even when you say that you're worried that there won't be, right? And so what you can do, and I'm going to talk about self-accountability in a little bit, or I might actually talk about it now. I was going to wait until after the third point. But yeah, if you do feel like, if you look at your list of history of relationships, right? And you're starting to notice that I always attract the same type of person, I keep attracting the same type of experience, or these types of experiences always make me react in this way. And I don't know if I like it. Yeah, I can work on embracing it. But I think just objectively, weekly, if I could be this way and I could still have the relationship of my dream, this quality or characteristic or way of thinking, it causes me emotional distress. It causes me frustration. It affects me. So I want to change these things for me. I want to change how I show up. I want to change how I communicate. I want to change my confidence level. I want to change my ability to be open to people. You know, I get into these relationships, but then it's hard for me to let people in. And then I feel resentful that they don't see me or understand me or hear me. And I don't want to do that anymore. When I'm in a relationship, I want to be fully in there, right? So that means this stage, I'm going to actually work on trying to let people in and sharing my emotions and even figuring out what that means for me. Where do my emotions sit in my body? Can I let myself have hard feelings? Can I not beat myself up? Can I also not, you know, I've had some clients and some students who they'll take that idea of sitting in their emotions, which is really great for them, especially if they've been repressed for so long. They'll take that experience of sitting in their emotions, be able to sit in it, but they kind of almost drag it out a little bit. So there is belief that they have that whatever they want or they need is not going to work out for them. So it's almost like a self-punishment. Like it's, they live in that depression and misery a little bit longer. And that is a great defense mechanism because you can just tell people I'm sitting in my emotions and sitting in my feelings, but really you're deflecting the need that it's time for you to make a move. You know, I felt my emotions. I felt my sadness. Now what? Now what is it that I need to do, that I want to do, right? How am I going to either put myself out there more, invest in my own self-confidence more, invest in my relationships more, and let that be the next step? But the main point for number two, y'all, is to not idolize people in relationships. And it is so hard. It is so hard, especially when they seem like they're exactly what you want. And when you're trying hard not to do the fantasy, but when you've painted your picture together, it's looking very nice. It is looking very dreamy-like, right? And if these couple of things were just changed and it would work together, and you have built an emotional attachment to that fantasy. And so letting go of that fantasy is almost aligned with letting go a piece of your own security, right? Because this fantasy, this story that I have with this person was going to make everything okay. So now I have to let it go and surrender it and just trust that it's going to be okay down the road. No, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't think I can, but even if I could, I don't think I want to do that. And the longer you hold on to these things that are not best for you, the more depressed you're going to get. Some of us have had the experience where we did idolize a relationship and a connection and just said, okay, well, love is going to work it out. Love is going to work it out. Prayer is going to work it out. We're both believers. Time is going to work it out. When this comes in, when this promotion comes in, whatever else, then it's all going to be worth it and it's all going to be okay. Only to find out once you got into that relationship that that's not how it worked. You know, maybe those things that were going on were the deal breakers that you should have listened to. Maybe those were like the big warning signs to let you know that there were like eight other deal breakers under each one that totally damages the relationship, if not yourself and your self-esteem, that damages your ability to trust. And so when it comes to feeling rejected, there's the other phrase that says rejection is sometimes God's protection, right? Sometimes we're not strong enough to say no to the things that we need to say no to. So it has to come from the other side. It has to come from the person. It has to come from the horse's mouth, because we will run into a burning building with gasoline draws on and be like, give me more, you know, burn me with your love. Like we have to, sometimes we need the blocks to be there ahead of us. And it sucks. It sucks because when it happens that way, there is no negotiation. There is no manipulation that you could do, right? To make it work. And this also leads into the third point when it comes to how to deal with rejection, especially by way of rejection that makes you tempted to try to make yourself smaller, to compromise with your needs and with your wants to try to get this relationship. Number three is don't make yourself smaller, right? lean into even more what it is that you want. So if there is a relationship current or in the past that is not working out, and it didn't work out because either you were wanting something that that person didn't have, or they were wanting something that you didn't have, you need to use that as your new barometer, your new thermometer, to make sure that you are always going to test to that level. You're always going to make sure that what you're asking for, you're going to ask for with your full heart and not compromise as soon as you start to build feelings or relationships with this person, right? If you need time consistency in relationships, that is very important. When you meet someone who's busy all the time or works a lot, then don't compromise for that. If meeting someone who is healthy is really important to you, but you keep meeting people who are not taking care of their health and their hygiene, and that's a very big component of like your personal values and how you live your life, then that is not the right person for you. If you want to be with someone who is available emotionally, but they have a whole lot of things going on in their life and they're in flux and in their transition, that is not someone for you to date. If you are someone who, I was talking to a client the other day who said she's always someone who is financially responsible in the relationship. So she keeps dating people who are on a different financial level and being a provider or being the person who just didn't care about money has never worked out in her favor. So now she wants to be in partnerships with people who are financially stable. So now you meet someone who's financially stable, but they're stingy. They're stingy and they play games with their money. That's still you not being on the receiving end of someone who's generous. It doesn't care what's in their bank account. It doesn't matter what's in their bank account. It doesn't matter what access to status that they have. You would be compromising to be in this relationship with this curmudgeon person, you know, who expects you to fall at their feet and kiss their toes whenever they give you a compliment or give you a gift. No. And I think this is why connecting to our trauma is so important, because for some of us, that was our experience. That's why we can get with these people who nickel and dime us when it comes to attention, time, gifting, affection, and breadcrumb us, because we were breadcrumbed ourselves as little girls. And we were so desperate to have that type of affection and love and attention that we had to celebrate it. We had to do what we could to cultivate it. So when someone gives us a little inkling of that, we want it. And also, it's so normal. That's why we're so attracted to these people sometimes, because it's not someone who is overly generous with time and attention and connection and all that stuff. It's always the people who kind of pull back a little bit when you're at a place where you haven't worked through this level of your trauma. It's always the people who seem like they have the concepts of it, the concepts of generosity and of planning to take care of you and all that other stuff. But the execution is never there. Never there is going to be there down the road once X, Y, and Z happens. And making you wait. People who make you wait for kindness, people who make you wait for attention, people who make you wait for care, right? Because they had to take care of this stuff first and then they'll get to you later. Those people never get back to you because you set yourself up to be in relationships where you're always going to be the second, third, tenth priority. And we want to exit out of relationships where we feel like we have to work our way up to being on someone's radar to see us for the treasure that we are and to prioritize us. Okay. So I hope that this episode was helpful about rejection and a different way to look at it. I'm going to say this again for anyone who may need it, say with my whole chest, you are deserving of everything that you want. You are already deserving. Even if the part where I was talking about self-accountability, like maybe I am the issue. Maybe I do have an anger issue. Maybe I do have a jealousy issue. Maybe I do have my own insecurities. Maybe I do not know how to communicate with people. You know, yeah, maybe that is something that's true, but your value, you know, your value is not going to go up. Your stock is not going to go up once you work on these issues. The reason why your stock is low is because you think your stock is low. Right? Think about whatever your insecurity is, whether social wise, body based wise, finances wise, right? You know someone. I know you know someone who is on either your level or a different level, whatever your insecurity is, a lower level than that. And that person is confident as hell. That person walks around, that issue doesn't bother them at all. And they have the world at their fingertips, even with that gap area. And it's because they believe in themselves. They love themselves, right? They have decided that that part of their life is not an issue. That part of their life does not stop them from getting what they want. You have decided that whatever your insecurity, whatever your thought is, whatever pattern has happened in the past or feedback that people are giving you in the past, you have made that your truth. And if we're talking about rejection, that's where we need to start rejecting those narratives and decide, what is the story that I want to tell myself? How can I balance knowing that, yeah, I want to grow as a person and have certain qualities and traits and evolve, you know, and I just sit around eating bonbons saying everybody else is a problem, it's not me. If there are things in my life for me to improve on, how do I balance that without destroying my self-esteem and saying that, you know, I'm not worthy of love until I meet these magical qualities over here? Because maybe you never will. Or maybe you will, but in the meantime, you still deserve to be supported, you know, and cared for and adored. But the person that needs to do that first is you. You are your most important relationship, y'all. And you are going to continue to either find relationships that mirror what it is that you feel about yourself, or you will be blessed to be in amazing relationships with people, but it's going to be so hard for you to receive that love because you don't think that you're worthy of it, right? You're the gatekeeper. You're the gatekeeper of everything else. Other people don't have the power. You have the power, right? You want to talk to someone who doesn't really want to talk to you right now? You have the power to cut off that relationship, whether or not it's going no contact or just moving on. You have the power for that. It's always been in your power. You have the power to walk away. You have the power to start new. Okay? All right, y'all. I'm going to go. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. It's a little bit shorter than my normal ones, but we know y'all's thoughts. But I'm going to go get on the beach. All right. Sending you all so much love. If you would like to work on these things together, my recovery school program is where I do that at. Is my recovery school membership program. And we work through all the symptoms of love addiction, love avoidance, love deprivation, and the trauma that causes it. When you first start the program, we start off with some emotional based tools to help you get connected to yourself. As we work through all these things that creep us out and frustrate us, and we get into your relationship story and all that other stuff. And I support each of you with your personal stories by way of our community and our calls. So would love to have you there. You can go to therecoveryschool.com. to learn more about the program. But that's it for now. All right. See y'all later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Ever feel like your blanket just can't keep up with you or the weather? Introducing the all-season Miki Couture Everywhere Blanket. Whether you're at the beach, on a hike, or cozying up around the fire pit, the Miki Couture Everywhere Blanket is your perfect companion. This new hooded blanket is super soft, ultra-portable, and stylish, too. It offers luxury comfort and warmth that goes wherever you go. Get your new Miki Couture Everywhere Blanket today. Available now in stores and online at MikiCouture.com.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.